I want to start off this podcast with an editor's note. This was recorded Monday night, and I am editing it now. It is Wednesday afternoon. This podcast will be out on Thursday. Some new information has come up between when it was recorded and right now. But more important than that, I really just wanted to take an opportunity to just kind of frame this all. So we're all starting off on the same foot. We know what's going on, you know, because especially right now, because you know, tensions are high, you know, and there's a lot of emotions involved, and you know, it's really easy in these types of situations, at least from my perspective, to kind of feel like is the only thing anybody's talking about is just all this drama. And you know, sometimes you got to take a step back, or you get pushed back, and you realize that it's not as encompassing as you originally thought. You know, like something that feels like everybody's talking about it. It turns out maybe a few hundred people are talking about it, or you know, a few thousand. You know, but there's still tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people that are completely unaware of what the issue is, what's going on. So I want to start off just kind of explaining what's even happening. Because as I'm editing it, I am not sure that point was clearly made, you know, and part of that is my fault. Like my intention recording this podcast, was to just put it all out there, warts and all, no editing, you know what I mean? Like do like, you know, essentially what I mean by no editing is not chopping it up. Cause I didn't want anyone to on either side of this argument to feel like I was somehow trying to manipulate people's words, make things sound different than what they meant, or you know, anything like that. So that was my intention. The issue is I screwed up like normally. I took the past month off from recording podcasts, and I'm a little rusty. And I was also there was some scheduling conflicts and last minute changes, and I was rushed. And essentially, what happened is I wasn't recording the audio correctly. So you will definitely notice a difference between the audio quality from right now and when the podcast starts. So I almost just scrapped the whole thing because I was like, you know, it's I screwed it up. The quality's not there. The issue is that word that this podcast was even recorded had already gotten out, and I was worried that one, if I just don't release it, then that's going to be suspect. People are going to be like, what was said that, you know, they're trying to keep secret or whatever. But I also didn't want to re-record it. And make it sound like I was trying to polish it up or give somebody a second chance or anything like that. Like that's not what this is about. The issue at the center of all this controversy has to do with the five species of Poecilotheria that are protected by the Endangered Species Act, which here in the United States means, for one, they can't be imported, but secondly, they can't be sold across state lines. So, you know, if you want to buy one of these five species on the Endangered Species Act, you know, we're protected by the ESA. You can only buy them from breeders or dealers that live within the state that you live, which, you know, some states it's not an issue. There's plenty of breeders and people buy, you know, breeding them and selling them. And that's not, there's other states though, where nobody's, you know, they're just not available. So, you know, like with any law, especially when it comes to exotic pets, there's always people trying to find loopholes or, you know, gray areas, ways like workarounds, stuff like that. You know, and I mean, just bluntly honest, that's just bad for the hobby, for any hobby, whether, you know, you're keeping reptiles or amphibians or, you know, inverts, trying to find loopholes in a law really, just kind of shows that as a hobby, we're irresponsible. You know, we really want to be policing ourselves, regulating ourselves so that the government doesn't have to step in more than they already have. You know, if we're just acting like it's the Wild West, doing whatever we want, ignoring laws, trying to constantly find loopholes into laws and to do what we want to do, you know, that all that's going to do is attract a lot more attention from the federal government. And they're, you know, going to have to, you know, a government agency can't just sit and watch illegal activity happen. You know, people just ignoring laws without doing anything. So eventually they're going to have to step in and crack down. You see that happening a lot in the reptile hobby, and it's not something that we want to happen in the invert hobby, especially with tarantulas. So, you know, that it's important to talk about these kind of things when they happen. They need to be addressed and they need to be handled with, you know, hopefully within the hobby itself, so that it doesn't get to the point where we're going to have, you know, federal agencies coming in and mandating and regulating and enforcing laws, and it could be a mess. I mean, worst case scenario, it could just get all shut down. You know, that's an extreme, but you know, we don't want to go down that road. We want to be responsible pet owners, and reptile and, invert keepers, and do what's best, not just for the animals. That's the first and foremost important thing. But also what's good for the hobby and what's good for us as individuals. Cause you know, nobody wants to get fines or anything like that, for, you know, participating in a hobby that they love. So we need to abide by the rules and laws that are governing, you know, what it is that we're doing. And they're, that's not really open for debate. You know, you could disagree with the laws all you want. Civil disobedience doesn't really apply when, you know, we're talking about reptiles. If you disagree with the law, then you need to start writing your senators and congressmen and getting involved in politics and organizations like USARC and work to change those laws. I mean, that's the responsible way to make a difference, not just ignoring them and doing what it is you want to do. Like, that just hurts everybody. So the crux of the situation is the guest that came on the podcast owns a business called Simply Spiders, and you know, he explains his motivations and everything in the podcast. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I will just say what happened, like undeniable facts. He listed species opposed to Lutheria that are protected by the ESA and they can't be sold across state lines on his website, and had no restrictions on where they would be sold. He thought he had found a gray area, a loophole in the law, by saying that they are hybrids or hobby forms, in which case they wouldn't be subject to the Endangered Species Act or, you know, any regulations regarding that. The issue is, and it's been, I mean, there's proof now, you know what I mean? There's like sources you can cite. And if you're interested in taking a deep dive into all of this, I will be sure to leave links in the show notes. So, you know, if you want to learn more about what species exactly are protected, what the rules are, and what U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has said to people who brought a lot of these concerns or possible loopholes to them and their responses, all that I'll link in the show notes so you can take a deep dive. But what's important, what's pertinent to this situation is you weren't allowed to sell them across state lines. This person thought if they just tagged hobby form on there, justifying it by saying that a lot of the species in this genus have unintentionally been crossbred and therefore are not, you know, pure enough to be reintroduced into the wild. Therefore they are hobby form and therefore they are, it's a gray area, I guess is what the whole thing is. But information has, you know, been presented to me and the public, and it is very obvious that is not a gray area at all. In fact, people went before this ban went into place, and this wasn't like overnight. We had plenty of warning. We knew what date it was going to start on. You had plenty of time to get what species you wanted and have them shipped to you from anywhere in the country. You know, this wasn't a surprise. We knew it was coming. And, you know, so people approached U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, on their website when they were kind of have like an open forum and presented these possible loopholes or gray areas. Like, well, if this is the situation, can we still deal in them? And they essentially shut it all down. They're like, it doesn't matter if they're hybrids or hobby forms or whatever. If it is, you know, it's not about preserving a pure species to be reintroduced into the wild. It's all about protecting that species, you know, on all forms. So, you know, the main overall, the reason, I guess, is so that if they're not allowed to be sold back and forth in the hobby, then people aren't going to be going out and poaching them and removing them from their native habitat. This is just me speculating right now, but if that kind of loophole where you could say something as a hybrid and sell it across state lines was allowed, maybe the possibility, what they're concerned about is that would be enough of a loophole for people to do nefarious or illegal things and remove them, that species, from the wild, smuggle them into the country and then sell them, saying that, well, it's a hobby form, you know, like, cause it's, you know, there's really no way to prove that really. So other than just how you label it on a website. So to protect the species in the wild, it just, all of it's been shut down. Now, whether you agree with it or not, doesn't really matter. It's the federal government. This is what they said. This is how to be responsible pet owners and tarantula hobbyists. We must conduct ourselves, you know? So yeah, it, that's really not up for debate. And I wanted to address that right up front, because in this conversation, I hadn't read that part, that question and answer thing with U.S. Fish and Wildlife before we had that conversation. And he does refer, when he's kind of explaining what it is, why it is he did what he did, why he thought it could have possibly been okay, he kept saying it's a gray area. And I just right off the bat want to clarify and make sure that is understood, that it is not a gray area at all. It was addressed by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And I'm sure that he all probably read the exact same article that I did and now doesn't think it was a gray area. I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna put words in his mouth, but so that's up there. Because I know a lot of people are just going to read the headline, like they're going to read the title, see the thumbnail, and assume they know what's being said in this podcast. So for those of you all that are taking the time to listen, I appreciate it. And you're knowing what I'm saying right now. So you'll know that when people are saying that stuff, they're just full of crap. I also want to point out that I always try to keep all my content family friendly. This podcast, not so much. So if you're listening at work, or you know you got your kids or something like that, be careful, because there's a little bit of profanity in it, and there's maybe some stuff that should not. Some topics are talked about that maybe are not brand friendly or family friendly. So there's no sponsor to today's podcast. I got no businesses involved or anything like that. One, because, I swore. And also because, it's a controversial topic. And I just it's not something I want to monetize or, pull any other businesses in. And if there's any controversy, I don't want to damage their brand or reputation. So is it just me talking to this guy? And, so it is what it is. But when you're listening to the podcast, there's no debating selling those ESA protected species was just dumb. It was not cool. It was illegal. Had he actually sold them or whatever that situation was, that's his bed. He'd have to sleep in it. But it's not cool, and it's not something that we want to allow in the hobby. It's not behavior that we want to reward or anything like that. And I joke about in the podcast about the tarantula mafia and. That's not really a thing. There's not like an Illuminati of tarantula keepers that are pulling the strings, controlling everything. But there are some influencers or big names, powerful people within the hobby that sometimes try to use their influence to sway things. I was joking about it on the podcast, but once word got out that I had recorded that podcast, my inbox all of a sudden filled up with all these messages from people, and they're very polite and very nice, but they just kind of felt like I didn't have the knowledge or expertise to even speak on this at all. So I shouldn't, which is a fair argument, but I've kind of got that rebellious punk rock, streak in me. And you tell me I can't say something or talk about something, then that just makes me want to talk about it even more. Cause it's like, you can't tell me what to say. So that's part of it. And I hope that doesn't, have any kind of adverse, reaction or, I don't want to do any harm, I guess is where I'm coming from. But I also feel like everybody's got a right to an opinion and the right to say it, I just don't like censorship in that form. So that is understandable. And there was also some people that were expressing concern because they didn't feel like I should give him a platform to speak. And I understand where they're coming from. If somebody's doing something wrong, you don't want to give them a platform to broadcast that negativity and misinformation out in the world. And that's not my intent at all. I didn't ask him on to really defend himself so much. Because it's undefensible. It's what happened is public knowledge. It was there for anybody and everyone to see. So that's not why this is happening at all. I personally felt the way that this all went about was not the best way that it could have been handled. I felt like the right thing to do would at least be to give him an opportunity to admit that he screwed up, that he did something wrong, and apologize. We all make mistakes in life, and I don't think that we should just especially for this, I mean, there are some serious mistakes you can make that, you know, okay, you're just done. Nobody wants to deal with you anymore. But there are sometimes smaller mistakes or mistakes that a lot of people make, but for whatever reason, the spotlight got put on this one in this particular instance. You know, I'm not going to try and compare apples to oranges here, but this isn't the first time an issue like this has happened. I mean, maybe with this particular species in this particular situation, but, you know, over the past 5-10 years, there's been a lot of different, you know, gray area loop, people trying to find gray areas and loopholes to legally sell species that probably shouldn't be doing that. And it just, to me, I, you know, maybe I was just being empathetic or something, but I felt bad for this person because I kind of felt like it was a one-sided, you know, everybody just grabbed their forks their pitchforks and torches and, you know, the mob mentality kind of took over. And we're going to crucify this person. And I thought that it would maybe be beneficial to not just him, but to the hobby in general, to have an actual conversation and get his side of the situation, not just hearing one person's assumptions and opinions and reaction to it. You know, I thought having a wider conversation would be beneficial, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. So in no way am I supporting what he did or trying to say that it was okay or illegal or anything like that. Like that's not the point of this. I just wanted to give them an opportunity to tell their side of the story, maybe explain what it is that they did. And you know, I guess it's this lesson that I've learned in life that when you find somebody stuck in a hole, you know, or like in a ditch or, you know, they're in a bad situation, you know, throw them some rope, you know, and like that's the humane thing to do. You know, that's the kind thing to do. Throw them some rope. Whether they use that rope to pull themselves out of their situation or to hang themselves, that's on them. You know, so, you know, we had our conversation. It is what it is. It's recorded. It's edited. It's ready to go out. I didn't change I didn't really change anything. I just inaudible parts. I clipped out. You know, I didn't change what somebody was saying or the tone or anything like that. That conversation is what it is. It's up for you as a listener, as a human being with a working brain, to take all that information in and decide for yourself, is this person pulling them out of a hole or are they hanging themselves? You know what I mean? it's one thing it's impossible to try and assume to know what's in somebody else's mind. It'll just drive you crazy trying to do that. And half the time, probably the majority of the time, you're not going to be right. If you're trying to figure out what somebody's thinking or what their motives are or anything like that. For me, this is just my personal experience and the way I prefer to live my life is I will just directly ask that person, you know what I mean? Like, and then they can tell me what it is they have to say, whether it's their explanation or their excuses or their defense or, you know, they tell me their story. And being that I have a working brain and a heart and a gut and an intuition, I can listen to what they have to say, process that in my mind and determine if they're full of crap or not. You know, if they're telling the truth, if they're sincere or, you know, you have that ability is what I'm saying. So like, I'm not telling you what to think. I'm not telling you to believe this person or trust them or hate them or love them or anything like that. I just wanted to have a conversation, get all the facts out there, hear both sides of the story. And maybe try to kind of understand some motivation and some reasons. But more important, we'll take a look at the actions because that's, you know, you can say all you want in the world. What matters is what you do, you know? So that way we could look at the actions, hold somebody accountable and move forward with an understanding that, you know, that this is what you said. This is what you did. Are you going to do something different? You know, are you going to continue the same pattern of behavior? Or are you going to be better? You know, sometimes when you know better, you do better and, we make mistakes and I just feel like we should be, you know, understanding and forgiving and at least give people a second chance, but that's just me. So that's the point of this podcast, throwing the dude a rope and, what he does with it is up to him. He wants to pull himself out, then good. If he wants to hang himself, then that is what it is. And again, I had the conversation and I just edited it and listened to it all over again. And I'm still like, you know, people make stupid mistakes, I guess is what I'm saying. So, I just wanted to give him the opportunity to explain himself and apologize if he felt that was necessary and, you know, and move forward from there. So, with all things being fair in the world, the world's not fair. That's not what I'm saying, but I just kind of felt like we only heard one side, one opinion, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, this is in reference to, Tom Moran's podcast and, you know, I say it multiple times in the podcast. I have the utmost respect for this man, very knowledgeable, very respected, good dude all around. There is one, aspect of what he does that I have issue with on a personal basis, mainly because I've been the target of it. You know, he didn't like one of my videos and kind of ranted about it in a podcast once. And when I listened to this podcast, I had some empathy for what Dustin was going through. You know, maybe if I hadn't had that experience of being on the receiving end of, an angry podcast, I wouldn't have cared. I'd been like, yeah, let him burn. He made his own bed. But, I know what it's like to kind of be on the receiving end of something like that and have public opinion shift on you and people get upset and send you nasty messages and having really no means of responding. You know, because at the time when that happened, I probably had less subscribers, definitely less views than Tom, didn't have a podcast. And, you know, I even like recorded a video, made a thumbnail, uploaded it, and it was my response. And then I was like, this isn't really going to do anything but perpetuate an issue. So I'm just going to let it go. But when this happened, I think there's just that part of me inside, that kind of felt bad that this was happening. And even if what Dustin did obviously was not cool at all. It was very damaging and potentially very harmful, not to mention illegal. I still felt, that I don't know. I felt like, even though I disagree with everything he said, I should at least bring him on the podcast and tell him to his face I disagree with it, that he screwed up, and that it wasn't cool what he did, and give him a chance to respond to a lot of these allegations. Because the only thing we know for sure is that he listed these species on his website as hobby farms to try and find a loophole. We don't really know why he did that. We don't know his motivation, if it was just he didn't care about the hobby, if he only cared about money. You know, that's all inside that man's brain. And all I can do is ask him to tell me what's in his brain and decide whether or not I believe it or not. And my thoughts and feelings and opinions really don't matter. What matters is what you think. So listen to the podcast, listen to what he has to say, and decide for yourself, you know, whether this is a horrible, terrible person that deserves to be canceled and never seen from again and cast out of the tarantula community, or if, you know, just a dude that made a mistake and did something stupid and, you know, you're willing, you know, maybe to give him another shot. I don't know. That's up to you. I'm not going to try and influence your opinion at all there. I got my own opinion, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's it. Selling banned species and podcast kind of attacking them. And like I said, everything Tom said was true. It is illegal. It is stupid to try and work around that. Like that, that's one of the species. They're very clear about the fact that it can't happen. I personally just kind of felt like it crossed a line towards the end when it's turned into these personal attacks. And, that is what kind of inspired me to even reach out to Dustin and be like, hey, I want to hear your side of this situation. And I figured if I wanted to hear it, maybe some of you all did as well. So that's why I was like, well, let's record it. We'll put it out there to the public and we'll let them decide. So that's what I'm doing here. And, you know, like I said, this is not, this is all drama and stupid bull crap. So, you know, if you're not into that, you just want to hear about science and tarantulas and fun reptiles and stuff like that. This isn't the podcast for you. You know, don't feel bad. You don't have to listen. This is just, me and Dustin having a conversation about how we screwed up and what he's going to do to, do better moving forward. And yeah. So yeah, I wanted to be able to try and put a little civility into this situation, because you know, people get really nasty online. And like I said, I know a lot of people have no clue that this has even happened. You know, if you're not in that little echo chamber, if that stuff's not popping up on your feed, then you're completely unaware that this even happened, because it was like it lasted like 2 days. You know what I mean? It was like a flash. But apparently, it's still kind of being perpetuated. And then I don't know. I don't want to get into all the politics of it, anything like that. But yeah, I was saying at the beginning, there were a lot of people that reached out to me and were concerned that I was giving this person a platform, that I was speaking about something that I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a breeder, I'm not a dealer. I don't have intimate knowledge of this stuff. And I say that all the time. I'm not an expert at anything. I'm not an expert at cameras. I'm not an expert at tarantulas. I'm not an expert at science. I have no degrees or, you know, I just got my experience as a hobbyist, and this is fun for me, and I like to have fun and share my fun and experience with you guys. So, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the legalities of this situation. And a lot of what I was doing in this was just listening, you know, letting him tell his side and explanations and using my brain to you know, process it and figure out, like, is that the truth or is that bullshit? You know, so that's your job is to figure that out. And I know that some people are just going to be upset that I gave them a platform to respond at all. Cause you know, they just want vengeance. You screwed up. We want you canceled and out of here. And I just cancel culture, you know, in a lot of instances doesn't sit well with me. And I didn't want to be part of that, or at least be part of it as far as being just showing inaction. You know, if I had the ability and the opportunity to maybe kind of level the playing fields or at least get all the information out there, then, you know, that would be a good thing. Not for me at all. Actually, this is a really bad idea to do a podcast on this. I should keep my nose out of it. It's none of my business. I'm not involved. And it's really dumb to do this. I understand. I felt bad about the whole situation and wanted to, just try and be civil and be a community and have a conversation instead of just attacking somebody, opening up a dialogue and hearing their side and rebutting and letting people make a decision based off all the facts, not just one opinion or one instance, one mistake. So that's the whole point of this podcast. And I've already talked probably a lot longer than I should have. So I'm gonna stop talking, and we're just gonna go straight into the podcast. And I tried to keep it upbeat and entertaining to listen to while talking about some serious issues. So yeah, don't mistake my brevity don't think I don't care. I'm trying to make a joke of it because it's a serious situation. I really just wanted to kind of get at the truth of the matter, and I feel like sometimes when you're just being friendly and cracking jokes and it makes it a lot easier for the truth to come out, at least in my experience. So yeah, serious issue. Don't buy or sell these five species across state lines. If you're in the U.S., just don't do it. That's a bad idea. And if you see somebody do it, call them out. I mean, I'm not saying try to get them canceled. Maybe have a conversation with them first. And then from that point, if you know, they don't do the right thing, then escalate it. But yeah, I just think we should treat each other with, some compassion and understanding and just kindness. I don't know, that's like super hippie stuff. But I guess in my old age, I'm becoming more and more of less and less punk rock and more hippie. So I don't know what that says about me. But anyways, let's just jump right into the podcast. All right. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Tarantula Court is now in session. All of those who have cause to please, please draw near and you shall be heard. God save the United States, the tarantula hobby, and this honorable podcast. Welcome to the Exotic Pet Collective. My name is Richard, and we've got an exciting show today. I was actually trying to take off an entire month, before going into season two, I guess we'll call it. But some stuff has been going on in the tarantula hobby, and I really felt like we needed to do a podcast and cover it. So I kind of pushed back my other podcast, and I'm jumping in a week early to sit here and talk about tarantulas and the hobby and dealers and illegal species and all that fun stuff. So we're going to welcome to the show, I guess we'll just say the center of the controversy that's going on right now. And we're going to hear his side of the topic, because I feel like that has not been able to get out to the public. So welcome to the podcast from Simply Spiders, Dustin.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well.
How are you, Richard?
Thank you so much for being willing to come on the podcast today. I know it's been a little crazy in your world, and I've had some crazy stuff going on today as well. So it's awesome to finally get connected with you and have this conversation.
Yeah, I appreciate you allowing me to come on here and just clear the air with things. I kind of just was going to just start off and kick this all off, talk about how like this whole process began. I got some spiders from a friend of mine. I decided at that point in time,
Before you jump in there, let's just give a little bit of, I don't even know what the word is. Before you going on to your side, let's just fill people in that may not even have any idea what the heck's going on here.
Oh, got you. You know okay. I mean? So yeah, absolutely.
I figure like, I mean, you've already kind of been subjected to a kangaroo court. So I figured we'd give you the opportunity to address these charges publicly, I guess we can call it, and defend yourself in open court with a jury of your own friends, colleagues, and customers.
And I appreciate that opportunity because like not everybody gets this chance to make, try to just show why I did what I did for reasons why I did. Okay. But the reason
where this all kind of came on my radar was a few days ago. People started submitting posts in the Facebook groups and I started getting tagged in the Slack chat by some of the moderators and admins being like, whoa, what's going on? And there were people accusing you of selling banned Postalitheria species as well as wild caught specimens as captive bred. And when we like looked into it just a little bit further, we saw that a lot of the posts or the accounts making those claims were fake accounts. They weren't even members of our group or anything like that, or they had just applied for membership, but their account was only like a week old or something in most of the cases. And, you know, so we were talking about it and I was like, you know what? Let's just cut through the bullshit. I'm going to go straight to Dustin and find out what's going on. You know, I'm going to look you in the eyes like a man and be like, hey, what's up? What's up? Because this sounds pretty crazy. This is kind of out of character. So I sent you a message. We started talking. And then like the next day, Tom Moran came out with his podcast. And then just for like 45 minutes was, I want to choose my words here carefully because I want to start other beefs. Mm-hmm. It was a little catty in my opinion. And it was a little, just one-sided, you know what I mean? Like it felt like he didn't have all the information, but beyond all that, he didn't talk to you, which I thought was kind of messed up. I did that video on, the T Celadonia and I caught a lot of heat from people because I didn't go to Tom Patterson directly. And I'm like, well, I'm not asking Tom Patterson's permission to make this video, you know? I did my research. I looked up the laws. I talked to other breeders. I talked to you. I talked to people that were involved in T. Celadonia. And the main reason I didn't talk to him, and we've discussed this before, is because he is in the middle of a legal battle. And what lawyer in the right mind is going to let their client go out making statements and stuff? He had a statement that had already been published, approved by his lawyer. I read that. I included that in the video. So I didn't see a reason to talk to him. But in a situation like this, I really feel like, you know, even a coin has two sides. So you gotta try to go for both angles. And whether I agree with what you did or not, I think it's important to hear your side and talk to you about it. So now that everybody's kind of caught up and know what's going on, I'll turn it over to you so you can kind of explain from your side how this all started and what's happening here.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. And what you've said up to this point is exactly right. This all started because I had got some pokies from a friend that I knew these spiders had been in the hobby that this person had bred for generations and generations and generations here. And when I got them from my friend, I just thought about that. Some of them were P. ornata and P. smithii. And when I grabbed them, I thought about like how inbred the hobby has been for years and years and years. And this is literally a lot of people I'm finding out don't know this, but when pokies back in the day, like we have a lot of information right now that we didn't have back then. People were unintentionally breeding stuff they shouldn't have, and it slid through the cracks. There's numerous people who buy pokies and get a sort of hybrid. I've had it happen in my collection. I know numerous keepers that have had it in their collections. And this just happens over generations and generations of these same spiders being bred and bred and bred. With that knowledge I had, I looked into the law. And the law is meant to be interpreted, you know? So I looked into the law, got my basis opinion on it. And then I had to contact Fish Wildlife Services anyways over an import matter. So when I was there, I talked to the agent and I asked them like, if these are potentially like for through generation and generation, and there's no way to prove that what you have in the wild caught images is exactly what we have here in the wild or in captivity. I was like, can these be sold across state lines? And they straight up told me it was a gray area, but they're not enforcing the matter at this time, you know? So I just took the information that I learned by doing my research and then taking the opinion of what I thought was, it's so stupid because it was first a joke. It was a mystery box that I sent somebody a Pionada and P. Smithy just thinking to hook them up, you know, and it was posted in a Colorado group where I wasn't even a part of. And it's caused a lot of crap between a small group of people. And they started talking behind my back about it. So what I did was, as a joke, turned everything hobby form on my page. Now, as a joke, it was funny because a lot of old head people know that this is a true statement. Like, hybrids happen. They do, like, especially for spiders that have been here for generations. And it just kind of came a big thing, but it was true. So I wasn't going to take it down or anything, but I didn't realize that this would turn into something like this. So once I got done with Fish Wildlife Services, I had to make a decision. I was like, I'm not trying to screw over the hobby or like nothing like that. I just made a decision for my business. Like, this is a super gray area. I'm just walking a thin line with people. It's just to get, this whole law was meant to prevent people from poaching in the wild. This was not meant for captive red species that have been in the United States for years and years and years. You know what I meant? But it is a law, but there's always a backdoor gray area to it. I could have done them as freebies or of course or whatever. I mean, I was just putting them on the site. It's literally 18 spiders and two species. Okay. So I did this. I made my decision. Whether I was right or wrong in that decision, I made it. And unfortunately, it pissed off a lot of people. And that was never the intention. I think there's a huge lack of misunderstanding on many aspects of how this all plays out. Pokies have been around in this hobby for a long time. Hybriding has happened. When imports come in, especially back then, like when spiders were coming in, just different names. You ever go to a reptile show and you just see like big purple avic and stuff like that. People breed that spider with something. They just, oh, it's a mature male avic. They don't know anything about anything. So in the early stages of the hobby, people were mistakenly pairing stuff all the time. When they come in as like D. pentaloris, they're just bringing in a large group of field collected D. pentaloris. There could be locale variants in there and stuff. Like, interbreeding just happened. So it started as a joke, but it was actually more so left on there to educate people that like, you really don't know where your spiders are coming from. Now on the legalities of things, it was just a gray line. I was walking in. I understood that. I don't know if that was right or wrong of me. I did change it on my website just to stop the drama, because that's not what this was ever meant to be. But I have to admit, the problem I have with this whole situation is nobody ever came to me. Not one person in the hobby. I had three people who would be considered two breeders and one seller, you and another breeder came to me and asked me about this situation. I've never heard from anybody else. Not one person tagged me in one thing. I keep my life very open and opinionated on Facebook. I'm a very social media friendly person, but no one informed me. Publicly, nobody would say my name in any podcast, or people would voice their opinions, but not one of them came to see why I was doing what I was doing. I was told specifically that, I was told specifically that I was doing this for the money, that I'm greedy, that people want to see me fail and I need to watch my steps. Like, this is way too crazy. Like, when did the hobby become this? What I was doing was basing an opinion. The facts of the matter is it's a gray area. It absolutely is. And everybody can attest to that. It absolutely is. Go read the law. I shouldn't have to do the research for everyone. You know, there's a reason. You can't just go on YouTube, watch a video and believe what you want to without doing your own proper research. You have to get in there. You have to make your phone calls. I took care of what I needed to as a business and I made my decision. I don't think people realize like this is my livelihood. I put my heart and soul into this every single day of my life. Like, to have somebody question my judgment or character on that or my integrity blows my mind. I have always 100% made sure this hobby was taken care of. And if one person would have came to me and tried to prove me wrong on this issue, it wouldn't be an issue and it would have never blown up to this. It was literally one day after I had done this that podcast came. How are you going to get appropriate amount of information in one day? And I was never even talked to. I didn't want to bring up Tom's name in this, but me and him have never talked before. Not in the whole entire time of my hobby, we've never talked. I'm more disappointed in the fact that he didn't come to me first and see my side of things and show me educationally where I'm wrong in this issue. He came at me in a totally inappropriate manner, I felt. Personally, other people may deal with situations differently, but that's not how I deal with issues. I would definitely have came to him first. I've been very public. I've dealt with the issues. And you're talking about earlier the whole reason this started. I have a personal life too, guys. Like, I really do. Like, I'm not just Dustin from Simply Spiders. I lots of stuff in my past. I've had relationships and stuff that didn't work out, and people hate for pure purposes of hatred. They hear one thing. Like, I've given everything to this hobby. They heard this one podcast and I'm getting like pitchforks and stakes at me. Like,
yeah,
I've done everything I can to make sure that, and if one person, that's all I'm saying, if one person would have came to me and said something, but instead it was everybody voicing their opinion. That's all this matter is how you interpret it. It was never done for money. You think I care about, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
You kind of stepped in it though.
Yes, I did.
The tarantula mafia, and they came after you. I mean, it's not the first time that's happened. And I've even been on the wrong side of that before. You know, you use one word out of place or, there's a lot of different ways you can offend this group of people. And as, I'm walking a line, buddy.
No, I get it.
It's, it doesn't take much to upset them. And then they essentially turn on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They will try to rally their base, for a lack of a better word, their followers and stuff like that. And they'll say things like, just an example of what I'm talking about. And we'll just kind of get your reaction from this and we'll move forward. But it's this kind of like double speak that bothers me.
And again, I don't consider myself the morality police. I mentioned before how it bothers me because I'll hear this stuff and then I have to decide what to do it. And there's sometimes I hear stuff and I'm like, I'm not talking about this. It's not my place. But
yeah, I cut off a little sooner than I thought it was going.
No, you're good.
it's the fact that this was such a big deal that it needed to be addressed immediately without a lot of research or investigation into the topic. While other similar situations have gone by from that group of people, just they don't even talk about it. You know what I mean? They pretend like it doesn't exist. You know, like I can't even remember how long I was waiting for someone like him or some of these other people to come out with a public statement about the T. Celadonia issue when all that was going crazy. You know, and I was catching a lot of heat from some breeders and dealers just because I was associated with somebody they didn't like. You know, another business that they weren't fans of. And a lot of that anger and frustration and trolling and insults. And I mean, just a lot of stuff was directed towards me. And I hadn't even said or done anything. I was just like, in fact, my whole stance was, we're not getting involved. You know, like, we're not going to let you post that you have these species for sale in the Facebook group. That was pretty much it. And from that, all of this anger and frustration came and nobody was saying anything about it. And then as soon as I said, finally put out a video, it started catching a lot of crap from people. It's like, okay, whatever. It's out there. That's what I learned through my research and from talking to other people. That information's out there. If you disagree with it, it's on you to create a video or a podcast or some other kind of content and go after it. But it really seems like there is a group of people that are, you know, they're friends. They've been in the hobby for a while, whatever it is. I like to refer to them as the tarantula mafia, the tarantula elite.
We call it, me and Derek here call it mob mentality is what, but and yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's somebody gets upset and they voice their opinion, which they are totally 100% allowed to do. That's their platform. That's their opinion. They can say whatever the hell it is that they want to say. The issue is when you're saying I'm not the police, but then acting like the police. You know what I mean? When you're saying I'm not an authority, but I'm going to tell you what you should do and how you should feel about this. You know, or I think what really bothered me was just the fact that, I think I've already said this, if I haven't already, like a lot of the points that were made in that podcast, I agreed with, you know, it wasn't the nature of the argument that I had a problem with as so much as it was the way that it was relayed. You know, and I understand people get up in their feelings, they get emotional, they get upset, and they just start shooting off at the mouth. But there were a few. I hate cancel culture, man. I'll just be honest. Mm-hmm. I hate that idea that you step out
Derek's
of line,
nodded his head too.
Last little bit, and we're going to cancel you. Like that's so freaking frustrating to me, and it really pisses me off to see that kind of shit going on here in the tarantula hobby. All respect Absolutely. To everybody. You know what I mean? There's some very, I don't even know how to describe it. There's some dealers, some breeders out there that I hold in high regard. I think they do a lot of really good stuff. There's a lot of YouTubers and podcasters and social media influencers, we'll call them, that they have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, and I hold them very highly in regard. But when it gets into this political cancel culture bullcrap, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna, I'm fed up with that crap. And I'm not going to just stand by and watch that shit happen without at least talking to whoever it is they're trying to cancel and have a conversation, because nobody did that for me when they were trying to cancel me. You know, it's ridiculous behavior. It's that hypocrite. What's the word? Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
I'm a little upset at the moment, but yeah, just that whole idea of, you know, I'm not telling anybody what to do, but this is what you should do kind of crap. You know, same person sent a ton of people to my YouTube channel to complain because I used the word dangerous, referring to some species of tarantulas. And it's like, you know, I was upset because it's like, you could have sent me a message first and we could have had this discussion like men, but you want to spend 45 minutes blasting the choice of a word I used in a YouTube video to discredit me and try to convince people that I'm an idiot, don't know what I'm talking about. Like, that's fine. Do what you got to do. But that, in that situation, at least it backfired on him because he didn't say my name or anything like that. All he did was get a whole bunch of people listening to his podcast to go into Google and type up top 10 dangerous tarantulas and then click on links straight to my channel, which just shot that video up. You know, it fed the algorithm enough to get it fed even more in front of more people's eyes. And I was like, you know, I'm a little upset that you did that, but I can't be mad because you did nothing but help the video. So kudos to you. But I digress. I'm get off my soapbox here because I
know you're good.
And so I just want to go back to how long did you have Pokies listed on your website from the banned five species? Like, of those five species, how many were you selling and how long did you have them on your website as hobby form?
Okay, so I was selling two species, 18 spiders total, and I had them on the website for 2 days.
So this isn't
total of 2 days.
It's not something that you've been doing for weeks or months or anything like that.
No, it was meant as a joke off of the bat, but I left it on there because I know this sounds stupid, but like, people believe whatever they want to, man. They never come to the source anymore. Like, I was kind of left it on there because I felt that way, you know. Yeah. I felt like a lot of the Pokies were hybrided. So, I mean, it wasn't, and I could be very wrong on this whole topic. And what I did may be extremely questionable in some people's eyes. And for that, I do apologize. Like, I really do. Like, maybe what I did wasn't the best of thing or the worst of thing or whatever. But what I'm not wanting to put blame because I take full credit on my actions just because I made a decision that others didn't agree with. But if we're going to talk legalities of things as a hobby and stuff, we need to talk about the legalities of things. You hold one person at one standard, but let so many other people slide. We want to talk about the legalities of these ESA animals that have been bred here for generations and generations in the hobby, about crossing state lines that could be potentially hybrided. Nobody showed me otherwise. That could be potentially hybrided just because of a time frame of them being here so long and misinformation of what was what over a period of time.
I think in that situation, the burden of proof would be on you to prove that those are hybrids. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And
you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're good. As even hobby, we even sell Subfusca as hobby form. It's okay. We can say, oh, this is a hybrid, but people want it in our collections. So we'll just label it as a hobby form instead of saying exactly what it is. It's a hybrid. You look at one lowland Subfusca that's in the wild to a captive bred adult female that's been bred here for generations and tell me that it hasn't been hybrided. It is a proven, that's why we have hobby lowland. But the second you question any other species that's been here for the same amount of time, it is a automatically shut down. There is no way possible. And to be honest, it's because of the mentality of the people that are behind pushing whatever agenda they're having. This could have been easily resolved with my communication, you know, but this turned into a, I need to prove something to people and make, I don't know. I felt like I was, I'm a great guy. I think I do a lot for the community. I have a huge passion and a huge heart. It is my everything. And I would never go into it like intentionally screwing it over. And to have so many people like hear one bad thing about you and automatically you're seen this horrible person because they think you're doing a bad thing when they forget all the good you've done is insane to me by one person going online and making a podcast without even confronting me about any issue. No one confronted me. Like, it's a mob mentality. It's these certain people who have personal issues with me from the past. I haven't dealt with most of these people in 2 years. There is a small group of people who just want to watch me burn over stupid, peddly, personal stuff. It's like if they're not controlling the hobby, it's not the way it's going to go, you know? And like everybody has a say in this hobby, man. It's a hobby for a reason. It's a family, bro.
Yeah, I feel you. And you know, I think when it comes to the post-lith area, especially those five species, I mean, you said you only had two of them and you only had, you know, like 18 or 20 or whatever species that were even available. Like that wasn't really explained in the podcast. When I listened to it, it really sounded like you had all five of them for sale and had sacks full. You know what I mean? Like you had hundreds
of species
and were making money hand over fist retailing these. So I was like, how long has this been going on? The way it sounded, it was like weeks or months. Like this has been happening. It finally just kind of got into public realm where people were like, well, this isn't cool. Knowing that it was only a few days, that's definitely, I don't know. I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, but you're right and you're wrong at the same time. Like personally, I wouldn't step in the gray area when it comes to the fan. Mm-hmm. But that's
just I've learned my lesson on that one. Trust me, I've learned my lesson.
And as questionable, I guess you could say, as it is to list them as hobby farm, you know, like we could roast you on a spit for that, but we would also have to go back in time and every dealer that had what was it? It was Gramostola pulchra overnight switched to Gramostola quergi. Because instead of from Brazil, it's from Paraguay or whatever, like that whole debacle. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that was pretty freaking shady, you know, and it caused a lot of confusion. A lot of people were like, well, do I have a pulchra or a quergi now? You know, like they look exactly the same, but to avoid the appearance of selling a Brazilian species that, you know, was endemic to Brazil and technically not legally allowed to be sold in the US, it seemed almost like overnight as a whole, everybody in the hobby was like, all the pulchras that we've had on our website for the past 3 years are now just quergi or whatever it is. And nobody freaking batted an eye on that. Like, I was just like, well, that's kind of shady. You know, the whole, what is the bee, what is that? I can never remember the name of that damn tarantula. The Borneo neon blue leg tarantula, the beru, you know what I'm talking about?
Somoxigorum baruna, berua bees.
Yeah, that thing. I mean, I remember reading the article when that was discovered and described, and then within a month was available for sale in Europe. And the whole discussion at that point was, it's a beautiful tarantula, but because it was illegally obtained from the wild, even though it's being sold in Europe right now, it will never be legally allowed to be sold in the U.S. due to Lacey Act violations, essentially, was my understanding. 6 months later, they're all over the market. I got two in my room right now. You know what I mean? Like I am the epitome of hypocrisy. Don't look to me at the moral standard here. All right. Don't anybody get it twisted. I am not a hero, but so I have two of them that, you know, and I think they're awesome tarantulas. I'm glad that I have them, but I also know that ethically it's questionable. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of other people out there that are you know, throwing stones or living in glass houses themselves. You know, they've got some of these questionable species in their collection. T. celadonia is another one. I mean, the list goes on. There's a lot. I mean, essentially, from what I remember hearing, and I'm not going to throw anybody else under the bus that I haven't already, but, you know, there's a lot of talk that there's quite a bit of Brazilian species that would also kind of fall into that. But we look the other way because they've been established in the hobby for a while, and it's not a high priority. So Where the line is for the outrage, you know, and like, I'll be mad about this, but I'm not going to be mad about that or that. And to me, it really appears that I'm not going to be mad about those questionable name changes or selling tactics because my friends are the ones doing that. I don't know this guy and he's doing something. He found a gray area or loophole. So screw that, man. I'm throwing him in the fire. You know, I mean, that kind of, yeah. I mean, Facebook went crazy. You know what I mean? Just some of the comments and posts. And I don't even know who originally posted that crap because I didn't recognize those names. But all the comments underneath it, people were getting really nasty, really fast, having no information beyond what was said in a post. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Going back to what you were talking about, I just want to comment on that about like holding the hobby to a standard and people thinking what's illegal and what's not. Like, okay, I understand I could have potentially made a mistake here. You know, I can totally claim that. But if we're going to hold the hobby to a standard, what I was getting at like a while ago was there's people out there right now that we have been in. We've had the Lacey Act, the Brazilian endemic species thing going on for a while now. There are people selling stuff that are well-known vendors that have endemic species on their list that have never been reproduced or anything, that just have randomly popped up on their list. Like, you're holding a stand. Don't think that was imported legally. You know, you're holding people to a standard, one person to a standard, but you're not holding the whole hobby. There's a difference. Like, if we want to fight the fight, let's fight the fight, but we're more just picking and choosing what battles we want to fight. You know what I mean? And who we want to fight them with. A lot of this whole issue was based upon personal issue, to be honest. Like, a lot of this could have been easily talked out or understood over communication, but a lot of the main people that pushed for videos and stuff like that were people that I've had issues with in the past, bad dealings and stuff. These people have just been like this for a long time. And over time, you just learn people will hate to hate, but it's sad when somebody uses such a large platform to attack somebody they've never even met before, who has no way of defending themselves. If this wasn't for you, I would never be able to sit here and try to give my side of the story, apologize for my wrongdoings, and show that, like, I'm not the person I was made out to be. I was called numerous names. There's hypocrisy there from what is posted online to what I have in private message. There's a lot of interesting pushes from people to focus on what's not important so that it's distracting from what is important. And I don't know. I feel if we're going to hold the hobby to a standard, hold everyone to it. If you're mad at me about trying to sell pokies or whatever that potentially could be hybrids across state lines, like, make sure you're also like taking the steps you need necessary to hold your vendors accountable that have endemic species that have never been produced in the United States on their list right now. And everybody's totally fine with getting those and knowing they're brown boxed in and could be potentially smuggled out of the wild. We are totally okay with that because everybody wants them. But once somebody makes a decision and focuses on something, if the people are receiving these spiders, they're not going to poach them. They're receiving them from in captivity. I don't know. I think differently than some people, I guess. And like I said, I could have very well made a mistake. But if we're going to hold the hobby to a standard, let's hold the hobby to a standard. Let's not be hypocritical. Because I hear a lot of hypocrisy coming on from not just like from many different areas I never would have expected. I'm very blessed and honored. I have the greatest customers. 90% of my customers that have messaged me have been absolutely amazing and understood, gave me time to explain myself. A lot of fake profiles were made from a single company I don't get along with that felt the need to go out and try to trash my name. So that's where this all originated from, was in Arachnid Classifieds because of those personal issues and those fake profiles. And they have continued on doing as such. But I wasn't even going to go public with this, man. I just was like, it is what it is. Until the podcast, realistically, I'm like, I'm getting made out to be somebody I'm not. And I don't feel as a human, as a Jew that truly loves this hobby, that I was done right in that manner, because nobody came to me. I felt very betrayed from people I thought were friends who could have easily given me a heads up or proof or something. Instead, they just ran their mouths. And I've never been in a hobby where like mouth running has ever been okay, let alone been in situations where mouth running is okay. Just because you're on the internet shouldn't change the way you treat people. If you were in face and wouldn't talk to them that way, I don't know why you would do that on the internet. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's something I've struggled with ever since I uploaded my first video, like trying to figure out like why somebody would say something about me in a comment or in a message that they would never have the balls to say to my face. Or if they did say it to my face, they would at least be polite and civil in it. You know, like just something about the internet, that anonymity, even if your name's attached to it, just the fact that you're in your own house hiding behind a screen gives you a little more, you know, maybe some, I don't want to be vulgar, but it gives you a more backbone than maybe you normally would have in that situation. You know, and I don't know if you know this, but I've always, one of my lifetime goals has been to essentially become the Oprah of the tarantula hobby, where people screw up and go on the podcast and apologize and do their little apology tour and mend fences, you know? So this is my first opportunity. You
can awesome.
Call me tarantula. I'm just kidding.
That's awesome. I love it.
But honestly, I think it's important to hear both sides of a story. You know, I was kind of joking around in the beginning when I was saying you've already been through a kangaroo court. But you know, I was listening to this podcast sitting on my couch with, you know, my wife's playing some game on her phone, TV's off, windows are open. We're just enjoying the afternoon. I was doing some work on my phone and saw the podcast was up and started listening to it because I enjoy tarantula content. You know what I mean? Like I enjoy his podcast. I learn a lot from his videos, like not knocking this dude's, you know, educational prowess or value at all. You know, like I was listening to it and I just found myself kind of getting more and more frustrated and upset. Like I was agreeing with him at first. And then the more I heard, the more I was like, well, this is taking a dark turn. You know, this is kind of going down a road that I don't think is beneficial to anybody, let alone, I mean, much less the hobby. You know, like, I think that's as detrimental to the hobby as some of the other things that have been going on. And when it was done, the podcast was over. I was just kind of staring at my phone, like, I need to listen to that again because maybe my emotional response was making it seem a lot worse than it was, right? You know, because sometimes I get all excited and I hear things or infer a tone that maybe isn't actually there. And then my wife looks over to me and was like, who was that? And I told her who it was. And she was like, is that the same guy that did a podcast just complaining about you for 45 minutes? And I was like, yeah, he really sounded like a jerk. I was like, okay, it's not just me. You're not even involved. You don't know anything is going on here. And you were like, whoa, that was a little heavy handed and a little out of the side of your neck there. You know, so there were some things in there, and I actually went back through the podcast and listened to it and was like, gonna, you know, kind of take out little clips and stuff to let you respond to them. Cause I really felt like, you know, that was just a baseless accusation, or it could be a factual accusation. But then there was nothing but, you know, opinions and speculation as to why this all happened. So I was like, instead of sitting here and speculating three or four hypothetical situations that may or may not be true at all, how about we just go straight to the horse's mouth and get the truth? You know, so if you're okay, I would like us to kind of work through some of these accusations and just kind of get your responses to like, okay, what was really going on here? Is that?
Yeah, cool? Absolutely. And like you said, I use emotions very, I'm a very emotional person. So I completely understand that, this whole situation was not the easiest, or even sitting here right now is not the easiest to sit here and admit that maybe you were wrong or whatever, but, I'll do my best to answer these as best as I can.
And I do feel, just for the sake of honesty and clarity, I need to go back on something you just said and correct it. I did not mean to imply that I am an emotional person. I'm not an emotional man. I'm an angry person. All the other emotions I don't have. I just am just filled with anger all the time. Been like that since I hit puberty. And I've taken a lot of steps the past 5-10 years to try and through meditation and stuff like that, not be so angry. But man, sometimes I'm just full of anger. Like I always have been. So if something upsets me, sometimes I go a little too far and get too excited. So if that happens during this podcast, I apologize to you and anybody listening, because, you know, I'm not a professional. I'm just an angry guy with a microphone. It's probably going to just spew hypocrisy and talk it out of both sides of my mouth. But yeah, so the first thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't think he addressed this in his podcast, but it was something someone was trying to post in the group. And I was like, I don't think that's true, but, you know, I'm just not going to get involved in the drama. But since I heard it, and it's a rumor, I'm sure other people have heard it. So let's just talk about the gorilla in the room. Do you sell wild caught Afanopelma calicotes?
Okay, no. So I did have a group of Afanopelma calicotes that came in from a buddy of mine, but it was never discussed where they came from. And after that, I had never really contacted him ever again. But to be honest, that whole profile was not true. None of that situation had ever happened. That person's profile was made on January 21st. I've never dealt with that person. Their account says that they're also local. But the problem is these fake accounts are coming because, and I'm not going to throw out business names or anything, but there is a local business that sells wild caught animals that local people don't deal with or a whole lot because of the nematodes and parasites they've received and stuff. And this one vendor is the main pusher of all the drama of that I sit on. And it's unfortunate that it's that way, but they have followers too, and followers make fake accounts. Or this vendor was even proven he was the one that made the account that started the drama, kept feeding into the drama. He admitted that to the admins there. It's all just personal stuff. It wasn't really, that was a complete lie on that part, though. I don't know any Afanopelma issue with this woman. I don't even know her. I don't even know the situation.
So let's unpack that statement for just a moment. So these fake accounts were created, and what you're claiming is these were fake accounts created by a rival business with the express intent to slander you and kind of just say negative things about your business. So they posted this stuff to a few different Facebook groups, kind of got the word out. People got excited. They got, they got riled up. And one thing Tom he was saying on his podcast was just a whole lot of people were sending him emails and messages like, hey, have you seen this? And, you know, he went to look into it. But I guess, and maybe I get resentments all the time because I have expectations that people will act ways that, you know, I don't talk to them. So they have no idea I had this expectation that they're going to behave this way. But when they don't meet those expectations, and all of a sudden I'm mad at them. I guess that's just the human nature. But when we saw those, and when I say we, I mean like the admins and moderators of the Facebook group, the transplant of Facebook group, you know, like they do all the hard work there. Mm-hmm. You know? Like I can claim no real, credit for the success of that group. But they saw that stuff. They alerted me to it. We looked into it. Went and checked some of the posts out on the other, and it was like, I don't know who that person is. I've never seen that person. They're not a member of our group. I've never seen them post in any other Facebook. Like, it just was like, all of a sudden this person came out of nowhere with this huge list of complaints and Photoshopped images and stuff. And I'm like, this looks weird. And then we look at the profile, pull up their profile, and we're like, okay, this is obviously a shell account. So this whole situation stinks right off the rip. Like, maybe there's truth to it, maybe there's not, but the way, like, it's not somebody that we know. Let alone, I don't matter if we respect them or not. Just, it's not somebody that we know. You know, it's a big hobby, but it's not that big. You know, you kind of get used to seeing the same people over and over again making posts. And when we saw that, we're like, okay. And that's why I sent you a message, because I was like, I don't know what's really going on here, but this seems pretty shady. So I was a little disappointed that just that little bit of looking into a situation, I could smell something was a little off about it. And it seems like some of these other people that got really upset and started blasting this stuff out online, they didn't do that due diligence. You know, like, we're adults. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to know that not everything we read on the internet is going to be true. Like, it is our responsibility to, you know, peek behind the curtain a little bit and see if there's any truth to the allegations. Now, in Tom's defense, he did go to your website and he looked and he saw that you did have two species labeled as hobby form.
I had all the pokies labeled as hobby form, not just those.
Whoa.
All my pokies on the website were labeled as hobby form. That's what a lot of people were very, very upset about.
Gotcha. So it wasn't just the banned species. It was like any species of postal affairs.
It was a joke at first. You know what I'm saying? So I listed all the pokies as hobby form. Just, I was trolling a small group of people. Probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, probably not. Because
yeah,
a large group of people don't have a sense of humor, man.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. When it comes to that.
Yeah. And I didn't see it. I'll be honest with everybody listening. I didn't see it. I went and checked the website earlier, but like today, but I guess you had already taken it down. So because right now, nothing says Postal Theory, a hobby form on it.
Mm-mm. No, it was changed yesterday morning after I received the message from Tom.
Gotcha. So you guys did end up talking.
No, there was no talking involved. I actually confronted him about the situation because I listened to the podcast as well. And he gave me I'm just going to be very blunt about this. It was a very hypocritical statement from him compared to what he was saying on his Facebook post, that he was so shocked of what vendor it was and stuff. That is not at all how he portrayed the situation to me, unfortunately. I was told watch my back.
That kind of plays into this clip here.
Avoid sellers like this. Send a message. You know, that's the best way to do it. If they're not going to make money off it, they're not going to do it anymore. Again, I want to make it very clear, not a personal attack. I don't know the person. I'm trying to figure out the motivations behind it. It's tough for me to not immediately jump to, I'm going to do this because I'm going to make more money, but maybe there's something else in there. But regardless of what the excuse is going to be or what the reasoning behind this little thing is going to be, it's just not going to work.
So that's what he said on his podcast.
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. So that's not what he said to you? Or I don't understand with the
that's not at all what he said to me. I have screenshots of the conversation. I was told that I was doing this strictly for the money because I was greedy, that there's people in the hobby who are pushing for me to fail. And then on his Facebook page, as I was saying earlier, he was saying that he was shocked that it was the vendor that it was, which is me. But in that private message, he said that he has heard horrible stuff about my company and all these issues from people. But he also has never once brought these issues to my attention. No one has. These issues have magically arisen out of nowhere. These fake profiles with all these issues they're having are magically just popping up like dandelions, man. I've never been confronted with any of these. Every single one of my customers and a good majority of the hobby knows my heart and my passion in this hobby. And they don't, that's not something that's out of character for me. I hold my integrity and my character and my business ethics at a very, very high standard. So it's very interesting that how that all just played out there too, you know, saying one thing publicly, coming to me in a completely different form. And then after he made his statement, he never checked or responded to me. Or checked the messages that I had sent. I actually went back through last night and deleted most of them because I'm like, this is not worth the time of waiting for him to respond back to me. He just said his opinion. I need to watch my back basically, and then move on. Like I actually forwarded you I did forward you the message so that you could see what was said. And it was more so a personal attack than anything from a situation that he's never brought to my attention. I'm sorry. I just want to say this. Like, I have no problem with Tom Moran. I actually think his videos are very educational. And I think like a lot of people have learned and put a lot of trust into him, and they really pour their heart and souls into what he does. And I think for what he does, he's really amazing at. I think there were mistakes made here on both sides, and the appropriate way to handle them was never done. And, I'm not like dissing on Tom. This isn't a crap post on Tom. This is just a reality of the facts of the matter. And if the situation was handled much differently from him, I don't think I would be sitting here right now, because I never would have went public.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you as far as like, I mean, I definitely think that Tom as an educator is an invaluable resource to this hobby. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's not subscribed to his YouTube channel should be subscribed if you're keeping tarantulas, because there's a whole lot of really good information there, you know, and most of the time his podcasts are full of really good information as well. It's just this particular type of podcast that he does occasionally that it seems off color and out of character for him, or maybe, I don't know. And again, we're in America. You can say whatever the hell it is you want to say. You know what I mean? Like, do your, you know, spout your opinions or whatever it is you want to say on your own platform. That is 100%, you know, cool, well within your rights, but it's also well within everybody else's rights that has an opposing opinion, or maybe just wants to have a more fair dialogue, to do that as well. And that doesn't mean anybody's trying to discredit you or anything like that. It just means we disagree on either the content or the nature of something that was posted. And in this situation, I just don't like bullies, man. I don't like people coming out, you know, and not addressing a situation right up front. You know, if I had heard about this and was going to do a podcast about it, I would definitely send you a message first, whether I knew you or not. Like, hey, dude, this is what's going on. You got a statement at least, you know? Or do you want to address the situation before I go out and make it public? Yeah, you know, that's how I expect people to behave. And they don't always behave that way. And I get resentful, and that's on me. That's my shit. We know why the postal authority were listed as hobby forms, and you've changed that. You've actually even apologized for it. And moving forward, and you've also explained the whole situation with the Afana Pelma. And I have heard, we're not going to get into the business of bashing other dealers, but I think I know who you're talking about. And they have had a lot of issues of their own. And, it's not the first time that we've seen, like, this isn't a new behavior that we see amongst dealers. Like, it seems to happen a lot more than it probably should. Somebody gets jealous of somebody else's business and starts attacking them, or, you know, doing shady things to try and draw people from spending money there and putting it back in their own pocket. And this goes back and forth. And I don't know, man, it's ridiculous, especially with the whole Facebook thing, everybody going around reporting each other's business pages, trying to get businesses shut down. It's like, you know, like that's pretty petty. That's pretty petty stuff. Like, you know, so I don't abide by that. And you did send me that screenshot. I'm not going to try to dance around that. And I'm not saying that you're a liar or anything like that either. Just my personal experience in life, I'm always a little hesitant looking at a screenshot and taking it at face value. You know what I mean? That's why I was like, well, I want to get you on record and actually say it. Because it's, you know, maybe I've just dated some crazy girlfriends that have taken screenshots and stuff and sent it to me. I'm like, wow, they actually said that about me? And then it's like, no, that was edited. I'm an idiot. It's the same thing when I see somebody making Facebook posts that are, and they're posting a bunch of screenshots of a conversation. It's like, yeah, I mean, like, maybe that's true. I don't know. Like, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. You know, show it to me on your phone in a video, and I'll be a lot more apt to believe it than just a screenshot, because I know how easy that can be to change. But, you know, it's it wasn't his whole thing in the podcast was, this is not a personal attack. You know, and again, I am full of resentment and anger. So, you know, like I said earlier, it's not even so much that I'm not trying to defend or agree with anything you did. I just disagree with the way that the situation was handled by the other party. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know you said you did it for a joke, but I mean, dude, you stepped in big public shit when you did that.
No, I know I did. Yeah. And you know, I'm the one who needs to take responsibility for that. Like, absolutely. I know what I did. And even pushing those buttons, like, it's like poking a bear, you know. I shouldn't have even picked up the stick, but yeah. I have to admit, I did do it. Like, I'm human. I think people hold me to a standard other than like some, I know you get it because like people treat you like you're a celebrity. And sometimes people act that way with me too. And they hold me to this standard that I'm never going to be able to be in their head. Okay. I'm human. I have feelings and anger issues and emotions and all kinds of stuff. Like, it was just, I did not ever imagine that it would do this. And for that, my bad. I really am. Like, there's not more I can give than I'm sorry. Like, I changed it. I'm moving on. But I'm also wanted to educate the fact that, like, this is crazy, guys. Like, get it together. Why are we bullying each other? Everybody talks about what's tearing the hobby apart, or Fish Wildlife Service coming in here, taking your spiders and stuff. I'm like, first of all, you don't know how Fish Wildlife Service operates. They have hundreds of thousands of acres. They have all kinds of stuff they're doing. Like, you don't know the back history of that. You should educate yourself. But even with that being said, like, you guys are bullies. Like, you don't have to be that way. For the thing that's going to destroy the hobby is the people's hatred. Like, people can be supportive and caring and kind, and you can be people can stay humble and learn and grow as they go. But when you just have spite and hatred for whatever reasons and feed into that, like, it just gets worse and worse. That's not, the hobby's not going to die off.
People can be, they have the capacity to be humble and understanding and compassionate, but very few ever actually are. And if they are, it's very sporadic. And maybe I should keep it on myself. I have the capability of doing that, and I struggle every day to live up to being a compassionate, understanding kind of person. You hit the nail on the head, you know, by saying people make mistakes. You made a mistake. You know, for whatever reason, you thought it was a good idea or a funny idea, or, you know, maybe, you know, and that doesn't even matter. What matters is that you made a misstep. You made a mistake. You screwed up, and you're coming here publicly and you're apologizing and you're saying, my bad, and it won't happen again. At least I assume that's what you're saying.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And that's important, because I wouldn't be where I am today had I not made 2 decades of horrible, horrible mistakes that I would be ashamed to even tell you all. And I'm horrified that one day people are going to find out about, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's, part of me is like, I should just dump it all out there on the table, so there's no scandal 10 years from now. But it's also like, I'm nowhere near big enough for anybody to give a damn about that. So what does it matter? We all got histories, we all got pasts, and we all make dumb mistakes, you know. And my 20s was, I don't think I had a good decision in my 20s at all. It was just a bad decision followed by a worse decision followed by an even worse decision that landed me, you know, in my early 30s sleeping on a park bench with like no friends or family or anybody, not a dollar to my name. It was it was a rough life, you know. And finally I had to be like, look, I'm making a lot of bad decisions. I need to turn this around, because, you know, sometimes you dig in a hole and the best thing you can do is just put the shovel down and stop digging, you know. Like, you're not going to dig yourself out. You're just going to dig yourself deeper. And then in that situation, you got to rely on other people to help pull you out of that hole, you know. Like and that's kind of what I want to do here, is give you an opportunity to address these accusations that were made, just kind of face the public and be like, you know, well, this is what's up. You know, this is who I am. And we're going to move forward from here on out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cause I feel that way at heart, man. I really do. If you've known me, I've been a very open public figure in the tarantula hobby. I not only discuss tarantulas, but keep my life very open. A lot of sellers don't publicly post actively about their personal life on social media or whatever, but I do, because I give my heart and soul into this. The person you see on my Facebook page is the person I am. I don't know. It's just, I try to, there's no justification for this though, man. You know, like it could have been handled way better on my behalf than putting these pokies on there and labeling them and as high hobby form and stuff. But I have to admit, I never would have imagined that.
A good idea or a bad idea, but I will tell you that the person that I portray myself to be on social media is starkly different from the person that is actually sitting here in the basement.
Yeah, a lot of people are that way, but that's not who I am. I try to, and I can get why people would think one way or another, but no, I keep my life open. I keep my opinions very opinionated. I really am not in this to bash anybody or hurt people's feelings or anything. I'm in this for the people and the spiders. The relationships I've developed in this hobby, man, are priceless. I am so blessed that you're a friend of mine, man. You came to me like a real man would, and you found out information for yourself, and you gave me an opportunity to come on here and admit my wrongdoings. You know, not a lot of friends, like, I don't know, bothered me, because not a lot of people stood up like that. People question my integrity and my character, and over 2 spiders, homie, like 2 spiders.
That's where I was kind of getting upset, is that it was in one hand saying, I don't know who this person is. I've had no experience with them. But then on the other hand, they're a terrible person that's obsessed with greed and doesn't have a lack of moral character or integrity in them. And it's like, whoa. No, you just said you didn't know the person. Like, you're taking one isolated incident, whether it could be very egregious, but that doesn't negate an entire business and personality. You know, like, man, I couldn't imagine if I was judged on one bad, dumb thing that I did in my life, you know, like if that defined me and the Tarantula Collective on something I did 15 years ago, like it wouldn't exist, you know, it wouldn't be here. Yeah. And it really got me upset. And like I said, you know, there is some good application of cancel culture, you know, like, I mean, like the Me Too movement for one, like that was groundbreaking, amazing stuff. But like anything that's good, you take it to an extreme and it becomes extremely bad. And I feel like this situation just, I don't know, man, like we're adults. We don't need to be doing this cancel culture stuff, but I want to play this quick clip, that really kind of got under my skin and upset me. I just want to get your reaction to it.
I'm not going to say don't buy any spiders from them, although part of me wants to, because this is not the type. My gut is telling me this is not the type of person we want dealing in the hobby. If this is what they thought was a good idea, this is somebody that's selling them that apparently doesn't get how everything works. But I'm sure there's enough out there in Facebook. You guys can find it out, figure out who we're talking about. And again, just express, you know, this is not okay. This is not a good thing. We don't want this in the hobby. This is not this type of maverick vendoring or whatever we want to call it is just, there's no place for it in the hobby. This isn't by any means the first time something like this is going to happen. There was some sketchy stuff going on back with the Brazilian thing where people, you know, making decisions that they had no right to make. It just stop. Don't buy them. Don't support people that do this. Hopefully, again, am I saying boycott? I it's not my place to say. I personally would not buy spiders from them now because I think that's ridiculous and I would never support anything like that, but that's my personal decision. But I definitely would not buy those species from them. Personally, I would wait until they stop doing this and then maybe buy some. I don't know. It's not my place to call that kind of thing out. You need to make a decision, or you folks out there need to make a decision on your own about whether or not you want to support people like that. But personally, it would be very difficult for me to forget this.
Bro, that's the mob mentality I'm talking about. Grab your pitchforks, bro. It was two species. And like, somebody come talk to me about it, you know?
Yeah.
I have 75 to 100 species on my list typically. We just got a sale, so inventory's bare minimum right now. But realistically, we have all these species. We're talking 18 spiders and two species. Like, I am now burning at the stake because I put these on there. I just can't believe that, like, my character, I can't believe any word that just came out of his mouth from somebody who has never even talked to me before. Right. Never once. That just blows my mind how, like, the whole time I was just laughing because I'm like, you're attacking me and you have no idea who you're attacking. You're attacking somebody who's genuinely open-hearted about this hobby, who literally puts everything in there. Tom, you've never bought from me before. I never expected you to in the long run. I've been in this hobby for almost 10 years now, a little bit over even. So like, it's not like that. It's not how, I'm not worried about whether they're buying from me. I'm worried about whether what I'm doing is right for the hobby. Like, you want to talk about how much I'm not focused on the money. I'm more concerned about how this would affect the hobby than it was the fact that this was even on my list. Like, well,
in his defense, not to cut you off, but
no, you're good.
I feel like we owe him some defense here. You know, we're two angry men that are just, you know, complaining. But,
yeah. You know,
he did say, in that clip, I believe it, that I just played, if not within the podcast itself, that he had been, he heard all these people saying all this negative stuff about you and about the situation. And I feel like I am in a unique position, similar to his position, you know, that there may be a lot of people out there that are listening and consuming this content don't really are aware of, but When you're making content and you're talking to people out there, you get tons of messages. You know, I mean, like my Facebook messenger, it's probably got like 20 or 30 messages a day. Instagram, another 20, 30, 40 messages, you know, 20, 30 emails, you know, hundreds of comments on YouTube. I mean, it's just like I wake up and all I see are just a long ongoing list of notifications of people that want to ask me. I mean, sometimes they're really good questions. Sometimes they're really dumb questions that I've answered in a half a dozen videos and hundreds of posts. And it's like, seriously, like you couldn't take 10 seconds to just look to see if I've already answered that 100 times, but whatever. I try to respond to as many of them as I can get to, but it's very easy to get caught into an echo chamber. And we see this like all the time on and when it comes to politics and religion and stuff like that on Facebook, that all the posts that you're seeing, but it's worse, I guess what I'm saying, in our situation, because all of the emails that I'm getting, all the messages I'm getting are about me, and 99% of them are what a great person you are, and what a value and an asset you are to the hobby. And it's really hard to kind of stay humble and not start buying your own bullshit, you know, like not stop believing your own hype. And it's really, it's not difficult to go, like, I got 5 or 10 messages about this topic. Everybody is talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, that jump is real quick, because it's like, it's, hey, if I got one message, man, not a big deal. I get 10 messages, I'm starting to get a little annoyed. And it feels like, it doesn't necessarily mean it is, but it feels like everybody's talking about it. Everybody's sending you messages. And it's, and in reality, it's probably the same 10 or 20 people that are always sending you messages about everything. You know, it's like, it's not thousands of people. It's not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people. It's a handful of people that are just sending a lot of messages because they feel a connection to you, and they want to interact with you and keep you apprised. And I understand that. But when I heard that, I was like, I bet it's not thousands of people. Like, he didn't say thousands of people, but kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, it was hundreds upon hundreds of emails. It's like, it was probably 5 or 10 people that interacted on a daily basis that were like, hey, did you see this shit?
You know? Yeah. I had that happen in the situation. Like, there were multiple people that hit me up, and like, to be honest, like you said, it's easy to get caught in like not answering them, because I answered every single one of them, every single one, every single person that messaged me, I did. Most of them were my customers, my loyal customers and followers and stuff, saying how much they appreciate me and stuff. But man, it's important to me to stay humble in this hobby. Absolutely. I don't know it all by any means. There's questions I have to ask Tom or different people on a daily basis that I don't understand too. And that's, again, I think that expectation of somebody who we aren't, you know, we're just who we are. And like, realistically, it probably wasn't hundreds of emails, because I don't think that works that way. I don't think, even from my customers, how many people actually showed that they genuinely cared about this issue. They were more so like, I'm not knowledgeable enough to have an opinion about it. So, but they knew I wasn't screwing anybody over or anything. I've never once even, it's so confusing to me from that last voice clip he said, that's like, don't support somebody who's like this. I'm going to personally boycott them or whatever. Cool. Okay. That's what you want to do, but go out and ask the hobby. Like, I care about this hobby. I would never be like, I'm going to boycott this person. There's people I love to just throw out here right now. Just, you know, and be like, boycott this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Yeah. But it's not like that, man. Like, I want the hobby to succeed, and like, boycotting good sellers over stupid misunderstandings, I think is stretching it really far. And like, if you think about it, the only thing that makes sense is there's personal issues, you know? So like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, I was absolutely 100% right in this situation, but I'm also going to sit there and be like, this is not how you handle situations like this. I'm a good seller, man. I give quality animals. We focus on captive bred species here, and I do my best to make sure that everybody is taken care of, you know? Like, I don't know what more you can ask from me.
It was a reaction, not a response, you know? And that's just something that we learn as we grow, is that if we react to a situation out of an emotional place, it's never going to be as good as having a level-headed response. You know what I mean? Like, and that happens all the time. Like, I'm not saying this is something that is unique to this situation or to you or to Tom or anyone like that. Like, this is, you know, it's something that we deal with, you know, on a daily basis as people. And it's something we got to work on, you know, something I got to work on. And I know how hard it is to not believe your own hype. You know, like, it's really hard when you have dozens of people sending you messages, telling you these very positive things about yourself, and that they really look up to you and they respect you and things of that nature, to not start believing that, well, I am the arbiter of the tarantula hobby. You know, like, my opinion is representative of the good of the hobby. It's not just him. There's a lot of people out there that are like that, that are like, you know, that this is how I think things should be. And because I have a small audience, or, you know, a million people, you know, whatever your side,
you begin to believe that you're speaking for the people, like you're a duly elected official representing a group, and you know what's best for them. And that's not always the case. You know, like people have different opinions. They care. They have different priorities. They care about different things. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who really don't give a crap if pokies are legal or illegal. Like they don't want them. They don't want pokies, so they don't give a crap. Or they already have some, or they want some. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying people should go out there and break the law. I'm not saying that at all. Like that's not a good thing. But I know there's a lot of people that just they could care less, you know. And what I feel like is important in these situations is to educate people on why they should care and why something is wrong, as opposed to just villainize somebody because they're not behaving in a manner that you think that they should behave. Does that make sense? Or am I just like a madman?
No, I agree with you 100% because that's how I live my life, man. Like, I think everybody deserves an opportunity to prove themselves. I believe in trust until you show me otherwise. I don't know. It's, man, the hobby's changed a lot in the last couple of years, and it's even, it's definitely bigger. And you did your YouTube channel thing yesterday, your video, and I was watching it, man, and I couldn't agree more. Like, the hobby's growing into a point, but that's only going to bring a whole lot of more problems ahead of that, you know? And I just want to be a guy remembered in this hobby that, like, did his all and did what he thought was best for this hobby. Like, I don't think I was portrayed in that manner or given the chance to even express myself that, like, maybe I did make a mistake, and for that, I'm sorry. And I just wonder how many other people are out there that didn't get the opportunity I'm getting right now, and their business is completely ruined because of them not being able to have a say in this hobby, you know, because it is the truth. One person says one lie about you. You just saw how fast that fake profile one spread. Like, it was like a wildfire, and I'm sitting here literally not able to say anything because how do you do that? I don't know. Like, you go in there like, oh, I'm going to justify all these lies. I can't justify these people's lies, you know? So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to talk over a megaphone, you know, like somebody's blasting something about you. A lot more people are going to hear that than are going to hear your side of the story or see your post explaining the situation. You know, and that's just the reality. But, and I think that some people like to pretend that they're not an influencer until it benefits them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I'm not in this for the money or the clout. I'm just trying to help people. But then I'm also going to go and use my clout and influence to, you know, change other people's behaviors, you know, and whether that's good or bad, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, like, you can't have both, you know, like, you are either going to use your platform to affect change and try to better the hobby, or you're not an influencer. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say I'm not an influencer, but then go and try and influence people. Like, that doesn't work. You know, like, pick one. Either one's cool. Like, there's nothing wrong with either one of them, but you got to pick one. You can't do both. It's just not the way it works. You just sound ridiculous. You know, and it's, I don't know. I'm just very frustrated by the whole situation because I don't like cancel culture, and I don't like one-sided crap, and you know, but I also was like, Dustin, why the hell did you do that, man? Like,
no, like, I get it.
You know, it's one of those, like, if you stay out of the picture, you can't get framed, dude.
No. You think I would learn this, okay? After years of just saying really dumb crap on my Facebook page, you would think I would, like, grasp this concept. But, and the reality of things, this was a huge reality check for me. Like, I think my intentions on this were a little bit pulled when it was that I was trying to run the hobby my way and everything. I don't think at all that was the case. Never my intentions in the first place ever. But I wasn't trying to pull over anybody's head or anything or do whatever. I just thought what I did was best and accurate. That's it.
Right. Well, but, rapid fire response to accusations.
Yeah, but the whole problem is I shouldn't have really even been in that situation. They should have just stated ESA on my website. I kind of it was the lack, it was me making an emotional decision based off of a small group chat that led, it was like literally sparking the wildfire, just okay, craziness.
Just to set the record straight, up until that point where you made the change and, you know, for whatever reason, changed all the postal theory on your site to hybrids or hobby forms or whatever the hell it was. Up until that point, were they just listed as Postal Theory Ornata available for sale anywhere in the U.S.?
Since I've had my website, we've never had ESA animals listed on my website.
Okay.
That so was the first
there
was time.
Just, no, there was just, they just weren't on there at all.
At all. No, I, yeah, since I began the website last year, we just, to be honest, I just didn't have them. Like, we weren't focused on breeding those projects and stuff like that. So it wasn't something I would have added them back then and put ESA on them back then. But I also feel we have a little bit more information, and we have the telephone. It's a miraculous invention that you can call and pick up and get a ton of useful information from different people. And I did that, and I just based my information off of what I heard, you know. But realistically, it wasn't nobody, meant for malintentions or
nobody uses the telephone anymore, dude.
Oh yeah, right.
In the 90s.
Join me in 21. Yeah, right. I'm just like, I don't know. I may have made an absolutely big mistake, and I should have never been poking that bear with that stick. But to be honest, like, it was just a mistake on my behalf.
I want to paint an accurate picture here. So up until a few days ago, we'll just say, it's probably not accurate, but just for the ease of people understanding. Mm-hmm. Up until a week ago, none of the banned pokies were available for sale on your website to anyone in any state. They weren't
listed. No.
Okay. And yeah. Then a few days before all this blew up, you put them on your website as hybrids or hobby forms or whatever.
The day that I got them, I did that, which was 3 days ago since it was 2 days now. So it's been 3 days since this whole thing.
Okay. And now this question you don't have to answer because I don't want you to incriminate yourself, but did you actually?
No, you're good.
Hang on. Did you go on your website and buy a banned species and you mailed it out to them?
No. Okay. So somebody bought a mystery box and I included them in that. And okay, it's not incriminating whatsoever because again, they're not enforcing this by any means. So it's not incriminating by myself. But they put a mystery box in it. You can say however you want to. People are going to find loopholes around every law. So you could just say that this person bought a mystery box and I gave him those two freebies. But no, none of them ever have been sold since this whole issue, this whole drama issue. Not one has left my hands since this. So,
okay. Well, I do feel that I am obligated by law to inform you that the past 3 years of me creating this podcast, YouTube channel, Facebook group, Instagram, has just been an elaborate front because I am a federal agent. This is a sting operation. You are.
I was waiting.
It, man.
Oh, I love it. I love it because we joke about it all the time. Me and Derek and my employees, because people don't understand, man. We have a good idea of what Fish Wildlife Service's job is and everything. And let me tell you how not worry. This doesn't justify incriminating doing illegal activities or anything, but how not worried about they are on single hand to hand transactions. Like it is, there is a big fish to fry.
That's your experience.
That is my opinion for sure.
I'm on the other side.
Yeah, that is
extremely worried about it. Like
that
I
is
have,
my
I
opinion.
Have nightmares that because I have a P. ornata that I got, I don't know, a decade ago. But I know it's now a banned species. I have not moved it from this basement, but I still sometimes have nightmares that Fish and Wildlife will kick in my door just to confiscate my P. ornata. Cause technically even though I legally had it,
it's not happening.
I know
it's not happening. And that's, not happening.
But there were a lot of things that were doing in my past. I was like, they don't care about me. And they kicked in my door. So, I'm a little more hesitant to break the law than most people, I think.
Absolutely. I'll be fair and give you that. Absolutely. I just know that Fish Wildlife Service, I have a really good relationship with them, man. I stay in contact with them because I want to be a law-abiding person, you know, when it comes to my business, period. That's how it is. I have an agent. There's actually a Fish Wildlife Service agent that buys for me out of Texas. Great dude. Amazing. Really enjoy him. So these people know me. They know my intentions. I have to admit, when I brought this up, they said it was a gray area. They never contacted me once during this whole process, except for the one phone call that I made that I was discussing something else. And this was brought up in topic. And it was literally a sentence answer they gave me. So that's all I based in my opinion off of was that. So
yeah, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast. It's quick and it kind of applies, but I find it hilarious. And if you haven't figured it out till now, this is probably not a family friendly podcast. I try to keep all my content educational or at least family friendly. I don't know how many times I've cussed, but I know that it's slipped out more than a few times. And I usually work really hard not to cuss, and I am working really hard to still not cuss. And those have came out. So you can only imagine the words that I bit my tongue on, just because I have a foul mouth most of the time, unless I'm around my kid and I lock that stuff down. But, this is just my last experience with the feds was, I don't even know, 10, 15 years ago. How old am I? It was probably 15 years ago. I was at my house, in my apartment, hanging out with my girlfriend and her friend who was a dancer who got off work like around 4 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean? And came over to our house and we were hanging out and partying and doing, you know, the fun things you do in your 20s. And it was probably, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, like we hadn't gone to bed yet, but the sun was up and there was a knock at the door. And, you know, at that time in my life, had a lot of friends, a lot of people coming by, coming and going all the time. So I look out the little people and there's these two dudes, you know, about my age, a little scruffy face, flannels, jeans. I'm like, I don't know who the heck they are. But now the first time someone I didn't know was knocking on my door, we're in a big apartment complex. So it could have been looking for a neighbor or something. So I open up the door, dude looks at me and very politely says, is Jillian home? And I was like, what? like who's asking? And he lifts up his flannel shirt, flashes me a badge. It says U.S. Marshals. And I like, she's sitting on the other side of the door, like 6 feet away. I kind of like look over my shoulder. And I was like, the Marshals are here. And she goes, Marshal who? And as soon as she kicked that door in, pushed me to the side, snatched her up and hauled her off. And that was the last time I saw that girl.
That's hysterical. Yeah.
Marshall who? It's like, oh crap.
That's crazy.
I said that so you could run out the back. You're like, who's Marshall?
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. Oh yeah, man.
That has nothing to do with anything. I just thought it was funny.
I love that now.
I worry about when it comes to, you know, I was at a reptile expo and this dude came up with a T. Celadonia he had bought, like in the parking lot, like a drug deal. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I mean, one, that's kind of dumb, but you did it. It's happened. But now you're out here, not only like showing it to people, you know, which who cares? But you're like in trying to get me to record it, you know, like film it, put it on YouTube. And I'm like, man, I don't know you very well, but I like you. You seem like a cool dude. I don't want to get your name and face and talk about how you just illegally bought a banned species in the height of the controversy. Like, I'm not doing that to you, dude. I'm not doing that.
I kind of dug my own grave on this one. I realized that, and I kind of had to put the shovel down and just drop it because realistically, it was never meant to be what this turned out to be. But, yeah, it's very, it's crazy that it turned into this. I never would have imagined, honestly.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that this has happened, but I'm glad that you were willing to come on the podcast and at least tell us your side. You know, I know I got really angry for reasons that had a lot less to do with your situation than it probably should have and more to do with my own situation in the past that I've just been holding on to this resentment for a long time. But It was, I don't know, if this felt therapeutic to me. I don't know how it felt.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I want to thank you again, because like you said, even though this could have, whatever reason this is being done, you know, it still has given me an opportunity to clear my name. And like, I'm very thankful for that more than I ever will be, just because I want to do the hobby right. I really do. It's my goals and passions to be doing this till the day I die. So I want to always have the backing and do what's right for the hobby, you know. And I think that there was a lot of misinformation and a lot of just assumptions made that weren't accurate. And like, I am blessed to have the opportunity to come on here and tell you why I did what I did, even though it seems to be this huge, huge issue right now. I just want to make sure that.
Yeah. Well, let's just real quick, just set the record straight. Just as kind of a TLDR at the end, put a period on this before we wrap it up. All right. So we're just going to kind of work down the allegations real quick. Yes or no answers or however you wanted to address it. But to start at the top, do you sell wild caught specimens on your website?
No.
All right. Do you,
I mean, if they are, they're labeled. We have before, like they would be labeled wild caught.
Okay. Well, I guess let me rephrase the question then, because that maybe that was a little, I don't know what the word is, but you know, this podcast and make videos would have a very intimate relationship with the English language and would just be able to pick up all over the place and not stumble over his own stupid rants. Let me phrase it this way. Do you sell wild caught tarantulas labeled as captive bred tarantulas, intentionally deceiving people? Okay. All right. So we'll clear that one up. Do you currently have banned species of Postlethoria on your website, labeled as hybrid, that are available for sale anywhere in the U.S.?
No,
that has been taken care of. But you did at one point have all the pokies on your website for a few days listed as hybrids. Is that correct or incorrect?
As hobby forms, which essentially means hybrid. Yes.
Okay. But during that time, you didn't actually have anyone place an order for them and accept cash and mail it out.
No.
I mean, it's okay if you have. I'm just trying to.
No, I have to be honest. We did a sale this weekend, but during that time, I don't think any were sold. So.
Okay.
I haven't looked over the sale records. We don't ship out till Wednesday. So, but I don't believe so.
All right. We won't hold you to that one.
Put it this way. Even if there was, I will recanter them and I will issue refunds.
Okay. That works for me. That's a stand-up thing. All right. So are you filthy rich? Like, did you make a shit ton of money off of this little scheme you pulled past weekend?
Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. I had to. No, I did not. I was just teasing. Sorry, but I had to joke about it. No, I'm not rich by even running this business. I live in my parents' basement. So
that's high class.
I live with my best friend in my parents' basement. There you go.
All right. So you're not driving a Ferrari. Is a Ferrari still like, is that a status symbol? I don't even know what the cool car. You're not driving a Tesla, right?
My last one was a Hyundai Accent. It's more like a Geo Metro.
Should have just got a golf cart.
I know. I should have just bought a bus.
My mom. My mom drove. She had a Hyundai Accent. She drove that thing 15 years, probably. I mean, like, it was a used piece of crap when she got it. I was like in high school. Her and my dad got it. And I mean, and she just like, I bought her a new car last year. And it was like, it was the same car that she was driving when I was in high school. I was like, Jesus.
That's awesome.
But it just got to the point, like, it kept breaking down. And it's like, all right, I was going to buy a new computer.
Yep.
I'll help you out because you did, you know, raise me.
Yeah. By no means am I rich or rolling in the dough or anything like that. Like, I'm just an average guy doing, running a business is expensive. No one gets rich off of doing this. That's not, if they do, they got a gangster level game that I don't have. I just do this because it's a passion. Yeah.
That's a weird thing that this misnomer in our hobby that the people are very critical of tarantula dealers because they're only in it for the money. It's all about the money. They're very critical of YouTubers because they're only in it for the money. It's all about the money. And like, I look around, I'm like, I don't see anyone making any money.
You know? People are making it,
but it's not even that comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make it, you know, but to be honest, like, it's not. It's always blown my mind too, how many people think that, like, oh, I'm going to get into tarantulas and make millions and stuff. I'm like, where? I don't know. Like, it's not even like that. Like, we just got a duplex. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even a real house. It's a duplex. Like,
I'm able to pay my bills, but you know, I mean, my kid's, he's on his own when it comes to college. That boy better get some scholarships. Cause
dang right.
Unless Bitcoin really comes through for me by that point. But
Dogecoin. Like, no, just kidding.
You keep that crap meme coin out of this.
Right. That's hilarious.
All right. But so you're not driven by greed. You're not an extremely money hungry, selfish person. I mean, so then I guess the only other option is that you just hate the tarantula hobby. Is that the case?
Yep. That is Derek's laughing in the background. Yep. That's it. No, I don't hate the hobby. The hobby has haters, man, is what it is. Yeah. That's all it is.
You know, you said something earlier, like, I've never seen a hobby that has this kind, like, they all have this kind of crap.
Yeah.
All the time. Whether it's the guitar hobby or the snake hobby, there's always people that think that they are, man, one day I will feel comfortable just letting my mouth say what it wants.
I get it.
But I'm not trying to burn bridges here. And I know that whatever I say right now, tomorrow, I'll be like, I don't feel that way anymore. This is how my mind is. Full of like very dark humor and anger, and it's life.
Yeah, I get it.
So you are so you're not money hungry, you're not greedy, you're not trying to single-handedly destroy the hobby. You're just a dude, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're just a dude that loves tarantulas, that is trying to sell tarantulas so that you can make a living doing what you love, even if you don't get rich doing it. And I forgot what the other point was, but I mean, is that true or am I off base?
Man, to be honest, like the hobby, I'm going to be very honest and very personal right here. I'm very blessed to be able to do this. My dad has frontal lobe dementia and I stay home and be able to take care of him. And through this business, it has allowed me to do as such and help my parents out in that manner. But this is my life, man. I mean, this ain't just a hobby to me.
That really adds a whole nother level. Like when
not going to say don't buy any spiders from them, although part of me wants to, because
your business is, you're doing that because you have a sick father and you're able to take care of him and still make money doing this, something that you love. But you're also, it gives you the freedom of a schedule and to be at home. And I don't care. Even if that wasn't the case, we're in the middle of a freaking pandemic. Should you really be going out trying to destroy people's businesses right now? Like the unemployment is insane. I don't know. That's just me. I'm not trying to pull any food out of somebody else's bowl, even if I don't agree with them. It's much better to just discuss problems and not try and destroy people because you have a problem with them. Like,
what builds a community, man. That's it. Like, all you do is have to communicate these issues and you can build a stronger and better community. We don't have to rip each other apart over misunderstandings. We just have to educate ourselves and be a little forgiving sometimes, We need to realize people are human. You're human, I'm human, everybody's human, We all make mistakes. But there's no reason for malicious hate speech or messages or none of that, man. I'm just a normal dude who's genuinely cried himself to sleep two nights in a row now because of this whole freaking situation and the hatred that I have been shown over it when I just made a mistake, man. That's it. Yeah.
So I know you. We've had conversations over the past few years. I've watched your business start and flourish, grow, I guess is a better way. Flourish sounds a little extravagant for a trench, but you got chains popping up all over the country. That's not the case, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I saw it go from a dude starting to breed spiders to having a website and a lot of customers and return business, it's always cool seeing stuff like that happen. Like, I kind of feel like our growth was kind of at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, I was starting doing what I'm doing on, on my side of the hobby. You started doing what you're doing on your side of the hobby, and we've kind of come up together, if that makes sense. I don't know if that actually lines up as far as time is, but it's how I remember it. And that's all that reality is, right? Is what you remember.
Right. I just want to pinpoint something out. Like, Tom, in the private message to me, did bring up the fact, he was like, how long have you been doing this? And I think you guys are giving me a lot more credit than I deserve. I've owned this business for 2.5 years. I've never taken a business class in my life before this. I've never done anything like this in my entire life. Like, every day I learn something new about this business on what to do and what not to do. This past 3 days has just been a lesson on what not to do. I just don't think any of it is based upon the business ethics that I have, you know, and I do believe it was around the same time frame though that we grew together. So
very cool. Yeah. And I mean, you're right. Like that's what life is. We make mistakes. We learn from them. We admit to them. We say, hey, I screwed up, and we move forward, and we try not to repeat, you know, because unaddressed behavior repeats itself 100% of the time. So if nobody calls you out on something that you're doing wrong, at least I'll keep it on me. If I'm doing something wrong and nobody calls me out on it, I'm just going to keep doing that because I don't know that it's wrong. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things I value about, you know, this hobby and what I do is I make a video, I do my research. I talk to people. And most of it is just my own experience. And I put this together and I put it out there. And sometimes it's not all right. You know, like I make mistakes. Sometimes it's just bad information that I have that I am spouting out to other people. Sometimes I know the right thing, but my mouth doesn't say what my brain wants it to say. And when I hear it, you know, so I don't know if you listen to yourself, especially when you're editing a video or something, you're listening to yourself. You know what it is you said. Now you're hearing it through your headphones. And sometimes there's this filter in your brain that's like, this is what I meant to say. And you hear what it is you meant to say, even though that's not what actually is being played. I don't know if that makes sense, you know, but
yeah,
you hear what you want to hear. And it isn't until the video is out there and somebody leaves a comment, I'm like, what? I didn't say that. And then I look at it, I'm like, I totally said that. Like, I don't believe that. I don't think that. I don't do that, but I said it. And now everybody thinks I'm an idiot, you know? So I got to address that and be like, hey, that was my bad. That was a mistake. And I'm going to correct that moving forward. You know, and it's always, you know, dumb. And sometimes I'm just dumb. Like, I just don't know. I didn't go to college for any of this stuff. So I think, and Martin hates when I bring this up because I bring it up all the time, but it's like a perfect example that I read doing my research that this one species of Somobius can double clutch. And then I was like, well, what exactly does double clutch mean? And I look up a definition of double clutch and I don't know where, I can't find it now. I know that I looked it up though, but it said produce an egg sac. And then after a molt can produce another egg sac. So I said that, I was like, well, that's really interesting because how does that work? And then he leaves a comment like, that's not how double clutching works. It means they produce an egg sac and then they produce another egg sac before they molt, because once they molt, then they lose any sperm that they had. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I'm like, I'm an idiot. And so I had to address that. And here I am addressing it again. Like, I make dumb mistakes all the time, you know, and it's not just putting out bad information. Sometimes we think something's funny or something is clever or, you know, whatever. And we say it and we do it and it crosses a line or it upsets people or it's only funny to a small amount of people and ends up offending 10 times as many. And in those situations, you know, you just got to address it and move forward. So I feel like that's what we've done today.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, man. I really do. It's been a learning experience, this whole issue, even getting to talk with you. Like, I really respect you being a real person and always giving people your whole heart, man. Like, you've always been extremely real, and that's something I can respect a lot. And every manner that I know of, you've been a great, real dude, and I'm glad you're a part of my life, and I'm glad you gave me this opportunity.
Well, thanks, man. That means a lot. Unfortunately, this is all just a mirage.
Right. What is reality?
I only exist on people's screens. I'm not actually.
Yes.
I mean, who's seen me at, I can't say that anymore. Some people have actually seen me at Reptile Expos, but that was years
ago. I have. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think we actually shook hands. And that's part of it. That's why I can. That's why when this situation came up, it was a lot easier for me to be like, to not get really mad and do something like Tom did right off the rip, you know, because it's like, I've looked you in the eyes and I've shook your hand and I've had a conversation with you. I know you're a real person that makes mistakes and that has emotions and feelings and a livelihood that depends on your reputation, you know? So it's like, I'm not going to just go around slaughtering people just because I have the ability to do that. You know, people will listen to me. You know, and it's not just you. I mean, there's a lot of people out there like that, you know, like he would be, man, it's just, there's so many little dark secrets and alliances and all these like little hidden things in the tarantula hobby that nobody talks about, that I could tell you right now, but you probably would never see another video from me again because they would shut me down. They'd be like, no more tarantulas for that guy. I'm just kidding.
Yep.
But really, they're a mafia.
It is.
I'm just kidding.
It really is.
But yeah,
it really is.
But you know, there is, and it's, and like, again, it's not just the tarantula hobby. It's everywhere. It's in every hobby that you can imagine, in politics and religion. It's just the human nature, I suppose, but we're not immune to it here in the hobby. And you know, there was one situation, and we got to wrap this up. I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to keep you.
No, you're good.
You know, but there was just a couple of years ago, a really nasty situation. And I learned a lot of things about a few businesses and I really wanted to like go public with it, you know, like an expose style, bust them out, show everybody their true colors. And I didn't. And I'm glad that I didn't, because karma doesn't need me to do its dirty work. You know what I mean? Like that situation resolved itself for the most part. Like their chickens came home from roost. They no longer give me or anybody else any problems. They just kind of fell off the face of the earth. And people are kind of mending fences and moving past that situation and on to whatever the next dramatic situation is going to be. You know, but had I stuck my nose in that situation and got involved, it would just got cut off. You know what I mean? Like I would have just become an enemy, solidified, and it would have been a mess. And I'm glad that I didn't do that. And sometimes when stuff like this happens, I have all of these, you know, screenshots of messages and conversations and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I want to tell everybody the truth. And it's like, nobody cares really. Like as long as they're getting their tarantula for a good deal and are happy with the content that they're seeing on how to take care, like that's all people care about. Man, they don't care about our drama and our bullshit.
Not at all.
I barely care about it.
Right.
But it's
no,
like,
I feel you.
You do.
Yeah. I absolutely completely agree 100% on that, man. Like nobody really cares about the crap that's going on. Like, but I always want to just make sure that I felt like a little kid getting beat on by like a 10th grader or something, you know, just because like, I don't have your platform.
Yeah. And maybe that's an Appalachian thing, but I was always raised, always punch up, never punch down. You know what I mean? Like you speak truth to power. You fight the man. You don't pick on the poor kid down the street, you know, like that makes you less of a band, you know? And that's so when I see that kind of inequality, it's like, you know, I mean, if you want to go out there and make a video blasting Exotic Slayer, more power to you. You want to go make a video blasting some dude that's got 300 subscribers on YouTube. Like that's messed up. You know, like that's crossing the line. You know, and even if they're doing something wrong, like you can address that privately. And try to resolve that situation. And then if that doesn't work, well, then what other option do you have? And you know, but really, I don't know. For the sake of community and just, I don't want to sound like a complete hippie, but peace and harmony and all that good juju, we should just try and treat each other with a little bit of respect and understanding and a benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Like if you're going out there, like, you know, murdering people, then we should probably get you kicked out of the hobby and not have anything to do with you. But you know, making a dumb mistake is not a death sentence. I don't, at least it shouldn't be. And I'm glad that you were willing to come on here and address this issue and talk about it. It's been fun talking to you. And you know, I really want to reiterate that I have the utmost respect for Tom Patterson, or not Tom Patterson. Well, I mean, I do have the utmost respect for Tom Patterson. He seems like a good guy, an amazing spider breeder, and funny. And it probably is irritated as hell that I just confused Malloy and Tom Patterson. Maybe
I did it. I think they're going to be, that's funny.
But utmost respect for Tom Moran and his podcast and website and blog and YouTube channel and all that other kind of stuff. Like great information, a great dude. I just disagree with him hardcore on the way that he handled this situation. And that's why I made this podcast, mainly because I just want to be like, hey, I don't agree with that. But also because I was like, I don't think that you portrayed this man, Dustin, the way that reality actually shows that he is. And you know, you've always been a kind-hearted dude, big-hearted dude, very friendly, understanding, generous, And I'm not gonna judge you based on one bonehead move that you made. You know, like,
I appreciate
that. I don't know you. I'm not in your shoes. I don't know what the situation was, but what is important, more important than the fact you made a mistake, is that you rectified that mistake, because not many people will do that, and even less will apologize publicly for it. So, I mean, in my book, you're a good dude.
I appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Awesome. Well, you're always welcome to come back on the podcast anytime. It's always fun talking to you. And I'm sorry to keep you on here so long. My intent was an hour podcast, in and out, quick, to the point, and then I ramble about stories from my past. And
then you deal with me. So, of course, it's going to be extended.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's almost 8 o'clock on a Monday night. My video is supposed to be uploaded in public around noon tomorrow, and I haven't even loaded the footage into the
hilarious.
So it's probably going to be late. So if you're listening to this podcast on Thursday and you're wondering, why did Richard's video not come out, why is Tarantula Tuesday not out till Wednesday, it's because Dustin kept talking to me and wouldn't let me get off the podcast,
right?
And then emails, so Dustin, for making Tarantula Tuesday appear on Wednesday this week. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's what I do.
All right, dude. Well, thank you again. It's been a lot of fun. If you want to check out his website, it is simplyspiders.com. Don't worry, there are no banned pokies being sold on that website. And we appreciate everybody that's listening. You can follow me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere. Just type in the Tarantula Collective into whatever social media platform you're on. I'm sure I'll pop up right there at the top. Follow, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. But most importantly, come back every Thursday for a new episode of the Exotic Pet Collective podcast. We'll be doing this every week now, at least for the next 20 weeks. I'm trying to put them in 20 episode little segments. So this will officially be season 2. Dustin, you're the first guest. You totally just upgraded Alex from Tarantula Haven. He's probably going to be a little upset about that, but I think this is much more interesting than he and I just waxing ecstatic and stroking each other's ego for an hour. So thanks a lot, man. This has been a lot of fun. You. And everybody that's listening at home, I will see you next Thursday. Have a good one. Bye.